In the name of the one living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, your clergy got together for lunch one day, and we decided that we would use the collects for the day during the season of Lent to build our sermons on. The collect for today was manufactured, I guess, or put together for our use for the 1976 prayer book. The original collect for the day for Lent was originally formed by, I think it was Bishop Cranmer, back in the 1500s. One of the things that we've got to realize is that when we say the collect together, as we did this morning, a lot of times we see it with our eyes and we speak it with our lips, but it doesn't stay in here. So I want to read it to you again this morning before I begin my sermon and attach it then to my scripture lesson I'm going to be preaching on. Almighty God, whose blessed Son was led by the Spirit to be tempted by Satan, come quickly to help us who are assaulted by many temptations. And as you know the weaknesses of each of us, let each one find you mighty to save through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And immediately, the Spirit thrust him into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days. And all the time he was tested by Satan. Mark 1:12. No sooner had the glory of the baptism passed when the battle of the temptations began. One thing stands out here in such a vivid way that we cannot miss it. It was the Spirit, the same Spirit who led Jesus out into the wilderness to be tempted, that had been with him at his baptism. The very same Spirit who came upon him, drove him, Jesus, out into the for his test. There's not one person in this life that I've met, including myself, who has been able to escape the assault of temptation. Temptations are inevitable. They're not sent to us to make us fall. They are sent to strengthen us, our minds, our hearts, and yes, our souls. Temptations are meant to be tests from which we become better warriors of God. Many years ago, I wanted to play soccer for my high school. And at the beginning, I was not very good, but practiced diligently. And I finally made the second string and progressed a little bit at a time. But one day, we were playing a school that was not doing well in the game. And Coach Stofko called me aside and asked me to go in and sub for the fullback. It gave me a chance to prove myself. And that's what temptation is meant to do, to enable us to prove our worth and to emerge stronger for the fight. Now the term 40 days, in Hebrew, the phrase is used as a considerable period of time. It should not be taken literally, that Jesus was in the desert for 40 days or in the wilderness for 40 days. Moses had been on the mountain with God for a long period of time. We don't know if it was 40 days or not. Elijah spent a long period of time in the wilderness being sustained by the ravens. The area of the wilderness is very barren, dry, and hot. You could almost say it's a God-forsaken area of land, populated only by wild animals and vermin. This is the habitat of Satan. Well, who is Satan? Does Satan really exist? The word Satan in Hebrew means one who is an adversary. Satan is one who pleads a case against a person. This was vividly brought out in the story of Job. As time goes on, Satan becomes the essence of everything that is against God. It's part of God's plan to make his loved ones perfect through trial and suffering. This began with Adam and Eve. They were tempted to eat the fruit of the tree of good and evil, and had their eyes opened to the real trials of the world. Thus, we inherited our tendencies to rely on ourselves rather than on God. Only by carrying the cross can one reach resurrection. It was precisely this part of Jesus' mission that Satan attacked. Satan's temptations were meant to divert Jesus from his task of salvation through sacrifice. Instead of the cross as the way of winning the souls of humankind, Satan suggested three shortcuts to popularity. An economic one: change these stones into bread and you can feed the world. Another based on marvels: jump off the pinnacle of the temple and God will send his angels to save you. And the third, which was political: bow down and worship me, and I will give you the world to rule. Very few people believe in Satan today, which suits Satan very well. Satan is always helping to circulate the news of his own death. The essence of God is existence. God defines God's self as, if you remember from Moses in the burning bush, I am who am. The essence of Satan is a lie. Satan defines himself as, I am who am not. Satan was very little trouble with those who do not believe in him. They're already on his side. Satan is the power which is against God. The whole essence of temptation story is that Jesus had to decide how he was to do the work that God had put before him. Jesus was conscious of a tremendous task, and he was also conscious of his tremendous powers. God was saying to him, take my love to men. Love them until you die for them on the cross. Take my love to men. Love them until you die for them. Conquer them by this unconquerable love, even if you finish up on the cross. And Satan was saying to Jesus, use your power to blast men. Obliterate your enemies. Win the world by might and power and bloodshed. God said to Jesus, set up a reign of love. Satan said to Jesus, set up a dictatorship of force. Jesus had to choose that day between the way of God and the way of the adversary of God. We've seen so much of this acted out in our world over the past century, especially in the last 20 years with the rise of Taliban and now ISIS, where men and women who have thought that they could be saviors of their world have resorted to using Satan's dictum of using their power to blast humankind who do not follow their way of thought, who wish to win their world by might and power and bloodshed. They wish to make people think their way by use of force. They've brought hell to areas of the Middle East and beyond with their satanical powers and their use of force. We would do well to follow Jesus, what Jesus has set an example for us, to win other people's hearts with love, even if it means losing our lives in the process. I vividly remember an episode when I was a police officer in Pottstown. We had arrested a young Hispanic male for rape. I had processed him and placed him in the holding cell in the basement of Borough Hall. Shortly after incarcerating him, we heard this banging and screaming coming from the cell block. The duty sergeant and I went in to investigate and found the prisoner had somehow found a paperclip and was trying to slit his wrist with it. He was totally out of control, yelling and screaming in Spanish, Diablo, Diablo, Diablo. Well, even I, who don't speak any Spanish, knows what Diablo means. It means devil. Devil, Satan, the same. This man was truly possessed, and we could do nothing to calm him down. After we had disarmed him and brought the Spanish interpreter in to try and find out what was upsetting him, but nothing would stop this tantrum that was going on. Totally shaken, and I mean I was shaken. I knew what was going on here. And surmising that this man was truly possessed, I finally stepped back with my back against the wall and began to pray for Jesus to be with this individual and relieve him of his torment. Eventually he calmed down and we were able to transfer him to the county jail without further incident. Jesus was not alone in his battle with Satan in the wilderness. He was surrounded by angels who ministered to him and helped him make the right decisions. And I firmly believe that an angel was present with us in that cell block that day and calmed that deranged man for his safety and for ours. The outcome of Jesus' trial is that he overcomes Satan and begins to bring good news to the people of Israel, beginning in the area of Galilee. The good news of truth for humankind to see what God is like. The good news of hope for the hopeless heart. The good news of peace in the battle between sin and goodness. The good news of promise for the abundance of God who is more ready to give than we are to ask. The good news of immortality wherein we are on the way to life rather than to way of death. And finally, the good news of salvation. Salvation from the power of sin and to gain the power to live life victoriously in conquering that sin. Jesus preached that humankind must repent. The Greek word for repent is metanoia, to turn around, to go in the opposite direction, to change your mind. Real repentance means that we must not only be sorry for our consequences, for the consequences of our sin, but to hate the sin itself. Jesus asked the people of Israel, and more specifically, all of us, to believe. Believe in the good news. Take Jesus at his word. Believe that God is the kind of God that Jesus has told us about. To believe that God so loves the world that he will take any sacrifice to bring us back to himself. To believe that what sounds too good to be true is really true. We all have our time of testing. How do we do with that test depends on the depth of our faith and our belief that Jesus Christ can and will be with us and guide us. Believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Believe that Satan is real and that through Christ he can be overcome. Believe, and you will pass the test.